Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Advocacy broadcast for the Persecuted Church is a fast-moving gospel news program, and all correspondence and inquiries of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. And please note that we do take all your prayer requests seriously, and we love hearing from you. So keep sending them in. And we bring them before the Lord. Today is Wednesday, May 27th, 2020. And the reading in the Word this week is Numbers chapter 4, starting at verse 21, through chapter 7, verse 89, Judges chapter 13, verses 2 through 25. And the New Testament portion is Acts chapter 21, verses 17 through 26. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter at hashtag WatchmanIS216, also hashtag Warn Radio. LinkedIn, you can find us by hashtag Watchman. And join us on USA.life and MeWe with hashtag Warn Radio. The Warn Radio Network is available through the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. You can also find all the shows for listening and downloading on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Every week we put up articles by the Watchman, and I want to admonish you to take time. These are pertinent articles that apply to the day and age we live in, and they're also inspired. This week we feature America's Foilables of Mice, Men, and Bunny Tracks. Foible is a minor weakness or eccentricity in someone's character. In this instance, it takes up America as a whole with a systemic weakness in the nation itself. Also, the lost glory of Americanism, a republic if you can keep it. There is a lost glory of Americanism, that ideal for which many have fought and died for. There are many patriots today in America. Freedom is innately in the soul. It feeds the appetite for that freedom which began so long ago. And defrocking America, attacking American dreams. Defrocking America in its fullest desire finds itself in recent history. America remembers the famous Senator McCarthy, who spoke of enemies in our government dead set on bringing America down. He had many enemies. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Today is Wednesday, and I can't believe we're going to be in June.
Oh, I know. Just a few more days.
Around here in our neck of the woods, they've got the outdoor meeting to where you can have 250, indoors still a little less. Basically, things are coming back. The oil and the gas is having troubles here because of everything. Of course, the liberals love that. So, you know, there is a portion of America that just soon have no fossil fuels, and they would love it. I don't know where they would get their clothes or anything else, because petroleum furnishes a lot of things in this whole country, including your cars, your food, and everything else, your clothes. So
yeah,
at any
how
rate,
would they travel,
you know,
around?
Yeah, people are knuckleheads today. And then, of course, in our neck of the woods, we are innately rodeo around here. And the Cheyenne rodeo, for the first time in 124 years, will not be carried out this year because of the COVID problems. We also have our central fair and rodeos and all the others. They're all closed down. The estimated hurt to the economy is millions and millions of dollars. So it's really a big chunk. And the thing of it is, the governor said he didn't shut it down. They had a talk with him, and the rodeo people felt that they better not, because when you throw on something like that, you have to have the people show up. And if they're not going to come because of COVID, well, you're going to lose your butt. So that's why they did it. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, that Cheyenne Frontier Days is a big deal. People from all
yeah.
over the nation, and probably other countries come to that.
Yeah. Well, we also have the National High School Rodeo. We have the college portion of that as well.
Right.
The collegiate rodeo. So there's a lot of things, you know, that we have a lot of that stuff right here. And Tower and I enjoy going to the rodeos up here at the arena. But at any rate, up front, we're in Nigeria and Buhari, who happens to be a Fulani. And the Fulani president of Nigeria, who replaced Jonathan Goodluck Johnson, who happens to be a Christian, couldn't take care of Boko Haram. He eventually got voted out, and Buhari got in there. And from the time that Buhari got in there, well, what he wound up with was a small problem, and that is that not only do you have Boko Haram killing Christians, now you have the Fulani, which happens to be what, as I said before, Buhari is a Fulani. But can Buhari, the president, stop the Fulani, who he is part of the tribe, from killing Christians? Apparently not, because in all these years he's been unable or unwilling to do so. Now there's another aspect to this, an ISIS group that has opened up, and Christians by the hundreds and hundreds have been killed by the Fulani. Nobody stops them. And of course, this is the irritating part. How do you stop a government from not, you know, doing anything? How do you get them to stop? And that's the big issue. And, of course, in Africa, they're tribal. And we have been reporting on trouble throughout Africa with the Islamic groups. And because Islam is so conducive to tribal aspects, the tribes in Africa, you know, are back to what they were doing in the beginning. I mean, you can even go back to the white slave trade. You know, it was other black Africans who took other Africans captive and sold them to the white slavers to make money and get goods. So there's a lot of issues here at play in Africa, and it's not good. It's not what we want. But at any rate, in the Trump administration, there was talk about sending an envoy to find out what America could do to help them. And from a Christian point of view, in our reporting, we would like to see more done to protect the Christians over there, because they have, you know, they're losing their families, they're losing their crops, they're losing their land, they're losing everything, including their lives. And this is
it's
the
so
irritating
tragic.
Thing. Yeah, it
yeah,
is tragic.
It's very-
And of course, if there's any justice in the world, we look at the Iraq ISIS trials. And of course, the Kurdish regional government, this is up in the northern part of Iraq. Of course, the one that we had talked about over in Kobani was another group of the Kurds. And they were wanting to start Rojava, which would be their little space where they could have their own state. And they were doing fine until Erdogan invaded, and along with Russia. So that's a mess over in there in Syria. And a lot of those towns over there have been, the people have been run out of them. And Erdogan hates the Kurds. So this is a big issue over there. Nobody's going to do anything about Erdogan. Meanwhile, over in Iraq now, this one stable Kurdish regional government, if you remember during the Saddam Hussein regime, he actually gassed the Kurds over there in Iraq. But the thing of it is now they're going to be starting the first of the trials of the Islamic State militants in mid-2021. And it will include a national judicial team that is supervised by an international judicial body. And all I can say is it is about time, because we covered the atrocities of this group of morons, these bloody people. And we did it from 2014, 2015, up till the time that they were getting stopped. And we covered a lot of their atrocities. I wrote articles on it every week. Every day we were covering this stuff. And these people, somebody needs to do something. So far, there are over 2,600 cases of kidnapped Yazidis, Christians, and Shabak Kurds and Turkmens. 3,000 cases are still being investigated. So you have a lot of people involved here, and they have 341 bodies that have been exhumed to date, and they've unearthed 16 Yazidi mass graves in Sinjar's village of Kojo. Now, Sinjar is the mount where a lot of people were stuck because of ISIS, and it was the Kurds who came and rescued them from ISIS. So, we welcome these tribunals, these judgment things, and hopefully these people be sent where they need to go. There's no sorrow for these people if they're guilty and did it. One of the other things we wanted to cover, too, is the USA Space Force. They've been in the news. They've literally been in the news. I've seen pictures of them in their thing that they fly around. But it was established in December. It was established, of course, under the Trump administration. And Trump sees it clear. This new Space Force is critical to the future of America and defense. And I believe that's true. When we see this fighting in space, it reminds us of Star Wars, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It makes me think of the Jetsons. Remember them?
Yeah.
That cartoon.
we've come so far in technology. So at any rate, keep your eye on the Space Force, and we're glad to have that additional thing, because if we don't do it, somebody else will. We do need to take care of there. But, the other thing you have is the issue of flying saucers and UFOs that are out there. So, maybe they'll run into somebody out there and can ask them what they're doing. Put up a speed limit sign or something to say, hey, you can't just come into our galaxy and do what you want. But nevertheless, that's the way it is in space. There's a lot of things that are going on in the world. And, of course, the judgment of God, when we talk about the end of days, is going to include the earth. It's going to include the heavens being shaken. We are currently in Isaiah 24, the Isaiah Apocalypse, and you will want to listen to that. We encourage you to go by our websites at warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. And remember, we have three shows every week. Two of them are basically teaching. Wednesday nights is our Isaiah series. It's where I'm going through the entire book. And we do this 1 hour every week, and it is going to be in-depth. We'll probably end up having 150 parts to this particular series, but I'm going to go through every sentence. I'm going to go through everything I can, all the way through to the end of the book, The Good Lord Willing and the Crick Don't Rise. We are in Isaiah 24. We have to go to Isaiah 60, some odd. And, you know, you can say we're a third of the way through. So at the rate we're going, we may be here a while. And then our Friday morning show, we have some other teachings, usually Christian faith, Christian discipleship, things like that. Now, getting back to things, we do have to talk about China's war against Christian house churches. You know, it just astounds me how all of this goes. But at any rate, Tower, are you ready on this?
On the near-death experience?
No, on the China's war. That's what I have. Oh, no, this is up front. I see. Okay, sorry about that. We are going, we're going to do this together. And I just moved that. Well, when we talk about China and we talk about the Christian house churches, we can also throw in one other thing now, because it is now in the news, and that is Hong Kong again. China has officially laid down the saber, and they are going to stop all of the people protesting. They're going to kill them. They're going to throw them in jail. They're going to run over them like in Tiananmen Square. They mean business. They're also meaning to take care even more of the South Pacific region over there, the South China Sea. There's a lot of things coming up. Matter of fact, Pat Buchanan was talking about that in this week, one of his articles that he had written. There is no doubt about it that China's on the move, and China was to be on the move. I remember when I was a young man, and I was told that, to watch out for the mark of the beast and the mark of the dragon and the sign of the yellow people, which is China.
The sign
and
of
that
the
they
dragon
were going
and
to move.
Yellow people.
Yeah, that they were going to move. And, of course, that comes out of a lot of the old school prophecy and a lot of the old school teachings. But I didn't hear that from a minister. I didn't hear that from a theologian. It was revealed to me and told to me, physically told to me. But at any rate, I don't want to talk anymore about that.
I just wonder if they're baiting America to see if America will get involved. I think they want a war with America.
Well, that's exactly what Buchanan was pointing out. And, it's hard to say, but the problem of it is this particular thing here that I'm about to describe happened in Chicago. Because the mayor of Chicago didn't think that this pastor and his church should have church. And, of course, the pastor said that I have to do this. And this is how I feel, too. When you have the laws of God and the laws of man, and the laws of man violate the laws of God, what do? You keep the law of God no matter what. And so this pastor felt it was the law of God to have church, to invite his people. He had told the people, the ushers, not to answer the door, people to stay in there. And the cops came, and they came in force, and they were going to arrest a bunch of them. So I don't know how that has come out yet. But if we transfer this to China at 9 a.m. on a certain date, this is in May time, May, early part of this month, dozens of security guards and officers from local ethnic and religious bureaus, this is their enforcement arm locally, ascended on a church in a particular district. The members were singing worship songs, and without any legal documentations, they interrupted the service, calling the gathering illegal. Now, see, this is exactly what they would have done in Chicago. And this is unconscionable for this to happen in Chicago, in America, period. I don't care what these liberal Democratic governors think. They can't do that. So the male church members blocked the entrance, but were only able to resist for a short period of time. And it didn't take long for the authorities to rush in through the door and yell at the members and demanded them to stop recording with their cell phones. The police dragged several members out the door, snatched their cell phones. The police can be seen pressing members' heads down on the ground. Others yelled, "Stop filming." Well, you know, this sounds like a regular raid, and that's what it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, and a Chinese a church member told them, "You have entered my house. You have you grab our cell phones. You beat up people. You intrude violently. This is not allowed." And they refused to join the state-vetted Three Self Church, which puts the communist government up front. And of course, this comes from Bob Fu and China Aid, which is a real good source for all this, direct source, Bob Fu. So at any rate, you know, I mean, not only do we see this in China, we're seeing it during the COVID, we're seeing it in California, we're seeing it in various other liberal states, we're seeing it also out in New York. But the first full thing where it was really illustrated was in Chicago, and that made the news, and it shouldn't happen, and I support that pastor. And, you know, if you want to live in fear, you live in fear. But as there's a God in heaven, we're going to preach. We're going to teach. We're going to bring forth the word of God. And if you don't like it, that's just tough. You know, we're going to preach. That's what we're called to do. We're going to teach. We're going to give the word out. And by we're, I mean those who are truly called. And, you know, God is calling the church in America to wake up. You've got Christians around the world that are dying for their faith, and you sit here in your little comfortable churches, and now if you do that, you're going to get your butts dragged off and maybe put in jail for violating an order by some liberal mayor who think you don't need to be there. And just because she thinks she has a right to do it, in the eyes of God and our calling, you don't have a right. Even if there was a president telling us not to gather, we have a right to gather. Even if there is a communist government telling you not to have church, you have a right to have church. Even if there is an Iranian government and the Ayatollah telling Christians you can't gather, we can gather. We're going to gather. We're going to spit on the floor. We're going to tell you our response to your abomination. We will spit upon the law of man. When you do that, when you come up and you violate what we have been called to do, we're going to march forward. So at any rate, and folks, believe me, in this country, you're liable to see that all the more. So you better prepare yourself. If the church doesn't stand up, if we don't keep people coming into the presidency and into our government who's willing to save what little, you know, what we have left from these who are trying to destroy it, we're going to be in trouble quicker than you care to think about. So, Tower, are you now ready for yours?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
This is a story from CBN News. And it's a near-death experience. It's about Jim Woodward, and he was an ambitious, self-made man. And it earned him the nickname of Diamond Jim. And all he was focused on was providing a life of luxury for his family. He had no interest in God whatsoever. He never thought about him one bit. He was just focused on making more money, and nothing was too big a problem for him. He could fix it. And Jim thought that this was a way of showing his wife and his family how much he loved them by providing everything that he could. But his wife, Lorraine, was a Christian, and she prayed for something more. She wanted his heart to change. She did not like the materialistic way that he was going. And over the years, the materialism and money started to consume him, and he pulled away from his family. And he'd wake up in the middle of the night and say to himself, is this all there is? And when he was 61, he was diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome, and it's a rare, incurable disease, and it causes chronic pain. And as Jim explains, it's unremitting electrical current pain in every part of your body, accompanied with paralyzing inability to move. And so he fought that for 5 years, and he relied on prescription meds to manage the pain. And because of this, he was turning into a very angry person, and the pain was just consuming. And he said, never once, and this speaks to the arrogance, did I reach inside and look up to the sky and say, God, if you exist, help me out here. Not me, not Diamond Jim. And so in April of 2014, Lorraine prayed a desperate prayer for her husband. And I believe that she prayed it out of frustration as well. And she says, I said, God, I've been praying, but I haven't seen any change. Maybe you just have to break him to remake him. And she says, but be careful what you pray for. And then later that month, after taking more than 4 times his dosage of pain medication, Jim went to inspect a field he was planning to sell. And while he was sitting there in his truck, he felt this growing, burning sensation in his leg. And he said, all of a sudden, I realized I couldn't breathe. And it was as though the cab of the truck was filling with water. And as I'm about to draw my last breath, from somewhere inside of me that I didn't even know existed, I cried out, God, forgive me, forgive me. And when Jim didn't come home, Lorraine called the police, and they went and found him unresponsive in his truck and rushed him to the hospital. So Lorraine rallied her friends and family to pray for him. And she remembers at the hospital, the head doctor came out and he said, your husband is severely brain damaged. There's no brain activity there. We have him on full life support because his organs have all shut down. So the doctor was hesitant to tell her this, and he said there is no way to bring him back. And she was apologizing for praying that prayer because she didn't know it would come to that. And then Jim explains, I looked to the right, and there's this incredible vista of beautiful flowers and meadows, and I turned my vision to the left, and that beautiful green grass went from green to brown to scorched to black and dropped off in a crevasse. I saw the most hideous creatures you could ever imagine, and I fell back in abject terror. The look of hatred in its eyes for me and all of mankind. But at this point, I turned toward the light and I raised both hands this time and I cried up. I cried out, God, help me, help me. Then Jim says he's seen 3 angels. They came and took him through heaven, and he realized I was looking at none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he looked at me through those violet eyes, and all I heard was, James, what did you do with the life my master gave you? And he had no answer. But as I looked into the eyes and he smiled at me, and he smiled at me and he knew me, I saw such intense love and forgiveness for me who deserved nothing. And that was the moment I was forever his. Whatever was about to become of me, I was his. I loved him and he loved me. And Jim wanted to stay, but Jesus had other plans for him. And he said, go back and tell your brothers and sisters of the wonders we have shown you. Suddenly, I was back in a cold hospital room on a gurney, screaming at the top of my lungs. He said he scared the daylights out of some of the nurses. And she said, and Lorraine, his wife, said, a nurse came out and said, Mrs. Woodford, come with me here. And I thought, he's gone. And she said, and Jim says, and I was just overwhelmed that I was seeing Lorraine again. I said, Lorraine, I saw Jesus. Jesus has horses. And she said, the more I could talk to him and know that he was sane, I knew God had restored him. And she realized that God had answered her prayer to break Jim, to remake him. And she says he's now focused on Jesus and he's become much gentler. And also, since this encounter with Jesus, Jim still has the markers of that Julian Barr syndrome, but he has been completely pain-free. Isn't that amazing what God has done in his life?
It is.
Thank you, Lord.
That's a tearjerker.
It is. It's amazing. Thank God.
That, you know, stories like that is really needed. You know, now you can get too many of them, but, you know, people need to hear that the Lord is dealing. And it's, you know, I love that story. Just absolutely great.
I do, too.
And
I
I'm glad
too.
To hear it. And I thank God that he does the miraculous. And we've reported on the miraculous many times. And so.
Yes, we have. And God is still doing the miraculous work. He's still in the business of saving. He's the giver of life, and he continues to do that, give life.
Well, you know, we're going to be talking about Pakistan for a bit. This is another place that has been really, really troublesome for Christians, but not just Christians, but there's other religions there like Hindus. It's kind of ironic because when the Christians get down in India, it's the radical Hindus who are persecuting the Christians. But in this case, when you put them in Pakistan and they're at the end of the persecution by Muslims, then you've got a problem for both of them. Now, according to a report that surfaced there earlier in May of this year, titled Pakistan is Hell for Hindus and Christians, many religious minorities, including Hindus and Christians in Pakistan, faced horrific religious conversion and persecution in the year 2019. And we've been reporting just this year of all the things that's been going on in Pakistan, and this is forced conversion, and what they do is steal your daughter, and they will take her away, try to force her to say that she wants to marry him and that she will accept Islam and, you know, the whole nine yards. So there is issues here. Really, really in-your-face issues that Pakistan needs to address. Now, the one good thing of it is that this is where we've seen a number of people that were on death row, that were innocent, like Asia Bibi, actually be released in an effort by the Pakistan government and the judicial. She was deemed free and innocent. We knew she was free. We've been following it from the beginning, and now she's living a life somewhere else in the world, but she is free. And these are the kind of things that go on. And of course, when we talk about these, you have Pakistan. It is the radical Hindu Muslims, but it's also everyday Muslims as well that do this in various portions of Pakistan, especially your tribal areas that get real independent from the government itself. And then, of course, you get down in India, and it's the Hindus that'll persecute them. You get over in China, and it's a communist government. You get up in North Korea, and it's the radicalized Kim Jong-un government. And so this is where we find a lot of the persecution throughout the Middle East, throughout Africa. And in a lot of cases, the government is part of the problem. They don't solve it, like we discussed with Nigeria. And so, folks, I've got a warning for you today. If you don't take care of this government in America, if you continue to push socialism, liberalism, and do what some of these knuckleheaded leftists are doing in this country, you're going to lose this nation for good. And I can tell you, once you lose the original charter and what we were meant for, this nation will be hell to live in. And the people that have pushed this, they will regret the day that they ever became a socialist or
yes,
wanting to change
will.
This country. If you want to see hell
yes.
on earth, you just keep pushing your agenda for this country, because I can tell you what's going to happen before you ever get it done. There will be civil war, and there will be a worse war than you've ever seen before. And that's sure as certain as anything else. And we don't want any kind of a civil war. We don't like this division. I don't like this vitriol, this hatred, this stuff, and, you know, that goes on. So, but we are living in the last days. We're living in days of trouble, and you got to understand this is part of the thing. So I want to encourage you, check out the articles that are right, because they're pertinent and they help get you a little bit of tracking here as what's going on.
Helps you to get focused and get
yeah,
some
focus.
Reality in your life.
Another thing that, you know, that we wanted to talk about is the internet banning of conservatives. Of course, many of you probably know that Twitter was going to be, there's people that wanted to get Trump removed from Twitter. But the problem you have is he also has his rights. And Twitter,
that's right.
And as well as the other social sites, they are deemed a non-publisher. They do not have the right to do what they're doing, but they're getting away from it. And Congress right now, led by a number of people, are trying to get this thing taken care of to stop the banning of conservatives. But see, there is an option to this. Number one, I've always disliked Facebook. For families and some of the people I know, and they keep it small within their group, it works fine. But you can't trust Facebook, Google, or Twitter, among others, out of Silicon Valley and the others who are the big monarchs who have gained a foothold, who actually have a monopoly, and they got power and billions of dollars, and they don't care. They're going to do what they do. And there is these particular platforms have become the liberal judges of whose stuff gets to be published. And this is the nonsense that's going on here. But if you go to MeWe, there's also Telegram. There's also USA.life. Now, I'm on a lot of them. But see, I just found Parler, which a lot of people are getting on that I know. They're on others too. But one thing about these four that I mentioned, they do not ban you. They guarantee your rights. The USA.life is a Facebook alternative. A lot of conservatives, a lot of people who believe in the Constitution and equal rights. And so there is no doubt, you know, Kelly Shackelford of the First Liberty Institute was talking about what's been going on, especially during the COVID. As she said, this is really dangerous what's going on. I think we've all seen it during the pandemic when they began censoring information, when people began sharing information, which is the best of what America does. See, they don't even want you to share it. They don't want you to know anything. And so they just take it on themselves to ban your stuff. I mean, this even happened to us over on one of our Twitter accounts. They didn't even tell me why our one account was shut down. I had the foggiest idea. I never did it. I don't know what they were even talking about. But they shut us down and warned us, and I just sent them a letter. I said, well, if this is the way you people want to act, you go right ahead. I said, I don't really need Twitter. I can get off of it, and I'll just remember that this is the way you are. Well, they sent me back a letter and just warned me again and said, well, we'll restore you. I haven't heard another word. But to this day, I haven't a clue as what they were talking about, because everything of ours comes directly from our website. They are biblical. They're gospel. And I'm not going to apologize for the gospel. I'm not going to apologize for the biblical content. Our articles are full of biblical references. I have my writing. I've been writing for many, many years, and I have a mound. I would say, an avalanche of articles that I've written and put out there in the internet and the net space in all these years. Wouldn't you say, Tower?
Oh, I would, yes. There's tons and tons. It's amazing. We could put together volumes of books with all that.
So at any rate, I do recommend you joining us on Parler. I recommend you joining us on USA.live, and recommend you join us if you want to on MeWe. Now, I don't have a lot of time to spend on them, but, you know, we're on those. We're also on Twitter. We're on Facebook. But to be honest with you folks, I don't really know what it does, whether we put anything on it. I don't try to expand it. I don't like it. Don't care for it. We're on there for one reason, and that is to help maintain our Instagram account, which has a lot of good information on it. It's hard to believe that Instagram is connected to Facebook, but it is, because Facebook is a piece of trash as far as I'm concerned. And yeah. And if you put the Zuckerbergs of the world and a lot of the others who started all these big sites, they're all liberal, they're all globalists, and to be frank with you, they're not the best people to be trusting with your freedoms, that's for sure.
That's right.
So, at any rate, you know, we do have another story here. And this is about a young man. And, you know, I think that is the key when you talk about, Tower, what it means to be a Christian. It's what has Christ done for you. Do you remember when we were back at Faith Assembly? Sunday night was our testimony night. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do.
And people, see, the Word of God tells us that you overcome by the word of your testimony. That's Revelation 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives not unto death. Well, on the testimonial service, you took one aspect of those three points, the word of your testimony, and give a testimony what God has done for you. And the bottom line of it is that's where your point is your testimony. What has God done for you? There's a young man who lives in Ohio. He was born there. Grew up in a troubled neighborhood, but because of the way he was raised, he was accepted into 12 universities, and he's crediting God, his family, and the positive influences in his life for helping him overcome anxiety and depression to rise above life. Now, this young man,
that's amazing.
His name is Samuel. He is part of a City of Life outreach in Central Ohio, and he was an at-risk teen, like a lot of them are in the inner city. And, of course, he went through the program and got connected to him. His name is LaShawn Samuel. He told the Columbus Dispatch, "God has been my greatest help and my family and the good support I've had around me." See, and of course, he said, "My community, it's been a struggle living every day around gangbangers and thugs." Now, he's a senior at West High School in Columbus, but he said, "You can get killed in a drive-by or just walking down the street."
That's horrible. And
yeah, he had health issues. He was raised in poverty. He was in the hospital. He struggled with anxiety and depression. You know, when you get caught in that, it's not like you can get out of it, you know.
Well, it's hard.
But at any rate, but you know, the thing of it is, the kid is now heading to the Fisher College of Business at Ohio State University in Columbus. And he said, "I never would have achieved it without God, my family, my friends, in this environment."
Amen. That's, you know, amazing.
And this is such a good story for a young man like
it
that
is.
Because you want to know what's the matter with the inner city. You know, you got to give these kids help. And
that's
yet,
right.
for every group of people willing to help them, there are 10 times that many wanting to kill them because they're gang bangers, murderers, druggies, and everything else. And so when you get into the inner cities, you know, back in the 60s when I went down to enlist, I had to go through my physical. They put me in a rundown motel. The government did, a rundown motel in Denver, Colorado, in the worst part of town. There was right as you came out of the hotel, rundown old beat up thing. I couldn't believe the government put us up there, but there was a drunk in the street and there was puke all over the floor, all over the street, right in front of where we went in. And as you walk down the street, there was drunks laying in the gutter. There was poop on there. There was everything you could think of. Across the street, there was porno houses. I mean, everywhere you look. And this is where the government sent their new recruits to get into the Navy. You know, and you think, what is the matter with this picture here? We're in America, for crying out loud. Why do we put up with drunks in the street? Why can't we help them? Why do we put up with all this porno junk over here? And you teach your kids an immoral aspect of what true love and marriage is all about. I mean, and see, these are the kind of things that Samuel grew up with. And these are the kind of things that he was delivered from. And that's what we want. We want a Christ on the cross who can deliver these people out of these inner cities and help
Amen.
Them and bring them faith and bring them love and bring them understanding into a new arena. See, right now, all we have is division. We have hatred. We have judgment. We have everybody hating everybody else, you know, and it's folks. A divided America will never, ever survive. And if we don't survive, there's no way America can help the multitude of nonprofits that work today with help from Americans. And they take that money and they buy stuff and take it overseas and they feed and clothe and shelter and help these people live a Christian life and they help them get on their feet, delivering them from their present circumstances to make life bearable. Now, see, this is the problem you have. If America falls, that will fall.
That's right. We don't want that.
And so as we're advocating and I'm discussing these things with you, it is imperative that this nation gets healed of this rift. But as long as there's sin in the camp, there's a biblical principle. When you got sin in the camp, you got trouble. And it's time to get the sin out of the camp, get the sin out of the pulpit, get the sin out of the congregation. You can't save anybody if you're a sinner yourself. You got to get out, get redeemed, get the power of God within you, and go out redeemed in Christ, preaching the Lord and bringing his love and deliverance with you. We are the light of the world, but if we're a light that's hid, there's nobody going to see it. We are the salt of the earth, but if we've lost our savor, it's good for nothing except to be thrown out. I'm telling you today, beware and wake up, because as we tell you about what's going on overseas, this could easily be America if we reject the Lord God. And I can tell you one thing, the reason a lot of people hate Trump today is because everywhere he goes, he's not afraid to have pastors pray for him. He's not afraid to have Paula White up there representing him, and she's a Christian. And you get into Pence, who's a Christian, is not afraid to be persecuted for his faith. We have, more than ever, we have Christians up there that are doing something. And I can tell you there's things that's been going on that you would have never seen in the Obama administration, let alone when you get down to the Bush administration. It is time for America to wake up. You're either going to wake up or you're not going to make it.
That's right. Amen.
Now, we do have another thing right here. And we've got another story here. what do we got? We got about 9 minutes. You ready to do this one?
Oh, I don't know if I can do it in that amount of time. Well, this is about a young woman who became a follower of Jesus, and it wasn't anything she expected as a child. She was raised like almost every other girl in her country, a good, dutiful Muslim. But her story begins, and she wore the hijab like you're supposed to, and she said her search began when she was in primary school. She was watching a movie in which there was a woman who was always praying to God, to Jesus, and she was asking a lot of things, and she also turned to God and thanked him. And she said Islam would always ask for something, but they never ever thought of thanking God for anything. And despite her father being a strict Muslim, he was always praying, always reading the Quran, and leaving the house to serve God. And she wore the hijab, prayed, and read the Quran, but that night she felt something different. And she had concerns. I did as the woman in the movie. I prayed and I thanked God. And being a normal teenager, she pulled out her cell phone and she searched the internet on Facebook and on YouTube, saying, she said she tried to find people speaking about Jesus, and she wanted to know more about a relationship between God and her. And she was not a Christian, and she believed there was, she believed that there was someone named Jesus, and she wanted to find out more about him. And I wanted to know why this woman was praying to him and thanking him. Who was this Jesus? And so she researched for about a month, and then she gave up completely. And she had friends in Syria who were Christians, and they tried to communicate, but it ended up being a fight between them because she was a Muslim and tried to tell them about and trying to know about Jesus, and they tried, and she tried to tell them about Islam, and she said it just ended to confusion, so they ended their contact with her. And she felt that there was no Christians in North Africa at all. She thought she was the only one that may become a Christian. And she didn't meet anybody for the search. She didn't know there was any Christians in the region. And she thought the Christians were just people that lived in the U.S., France, and Italy. And they always had a negative opinion, the Muslims, of Christianity. And they also said their book, the Bible, was not precise or accurate since it was written by human beings. That I find funny, because wasn't the Quran written by a human? And in 2013, she said there was many problems between her mother and father. Her father would leave the house a lot, and he wasn't nice to her mother, and so she ended up starting smoking and becoming more violent. She tried to commit suicide by taking an overdose of medicine and cutting her wrist. She said she was psychologically a mess, and all she wanted to do was die. She could not think how to survive. She didn't want anything, and she was in the hospital for quite a while, it sounds like, and there was a window, and one night I asked God, why me? You had my mother deliver me as a baby, and you let me live this life. It is not normal. Why did you create me? To get hurt and to lead such a life. If you are God, show how glorious you are, who you are, either I die or if you have something for me, then show it to me. And then the following day she was able to leave the house or leave the hospital. And the first thing she did was ask her mother to divorce her father because he treated her so bad. And the mother did so, and they went to live with the grandparents' house. And the girl removed her veil because she wanted to start a fresh life with her mother. And she got back on Facebook. And while I was on the landing page, I saw a page called Christians in My Country. She said it was strange to her, and she clicked on it and then stopped. She switched off the phone, she switched it back on again, and on the Facebook, the same page appeared in front of her eyes. she said she thought maybe that was a sign. And so she came to the Lord, and the people that she talked to on that Christian page saw my profile, where all my posts were related to Islam, and they thought I was ISIS. But later they understood, once they connected with me with the pastor, all went well. And so now she's a Christian, and I'm thankful that she was delivered out of Islam. That's a great story. I believe her mother will come around, and her grandparents, because her mother wasn't as sold on it, so to speak, as the dad was.
Well, that story comes from opendoorsusa.org, and Open Doors is just another one of those. We tell you about a number of them that we recommend. Open Doors does a lot of work. They have boots on the ground. And another thing, there's a point of order, too, here. With the show, we are not a call-in show. If you have a question, be sure to go to our website at warren-usa.com. And get our contact page, send us an email, write it in depth as you want, and we can respond in kind, and we'll also cover it. There's a strong possibility we can cover it online as well. So, at any rate, we are a little under 3 minutes here, but we want to be sure to just impress upon you to pray for the believers around the world, and also give to these groups. I think it's very important to be able to help at this time.
Amen.
Some of the biggest problems that they have overseas now is the fact that these Christians, many of them overseas that are suffering and being persecuted, they don't even have any jobs. They don't have a way to eat. And there are boots on the ground. There are several ministries, a number of ministries. Everyone that's contacted us, sent us information, they've already got ongoing feeding programs. And so, believe me, they go on, even in the midst of this, with great, they're supposed to stay at home, but they do leave and they go spread the food and whatever the people need. So it's important. Take time out and find you somebody that you can support that has boots on the ground to help your brothers and sisters in Christ overseas. So with that, Tower, we're going to have to get out.
Okay. Here. Well, good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Whenever you do, we love hearing from you. And may God richly bless you for all that you do for Him. And be sure to join us tomorrow night for Battle Lines, War on Isaiah. Good night, everybody. We also love you and pray for you. Believe that.
Be sure to go to our websites at warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. This is The Watchman. We'll see you next time. Shalom, everybody. Have a good night. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warren Radio.